Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on September 20th, 2021. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded. Just a few helpful tips. Anyone joining through the phone call, you can press *6 to mute and or unmute yourself. If you're joining through the video conference, you can press, you can click on the speaker icon to mute and or unmute yourself. People joining through the phone call, so you can press *9 to raise or lower your virtual hands. And everyone on the video conference, if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand, that will lower as well as raise your virtual hands. Without any further delay, I would say that we have our general manager on the call with us today. So we will modify the agenda slightly and do our usual processes afterwards, but we will go ahead and give the floor to Mr. Wiederfeld.
Okay, Phil, do you want to make any comments or Paul? Is Paul on the line?
Paul is on a Metro Access vehicle heading to a medical appointment. He's okay. Going to try to log on with his laptop. And I think Denise may have called in. And so
yes, she is on the call with us, yes.
And so I offered to sort of take over until they were available. But as we always do, we always let our guests go first and hear what you have to say.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you, Phil. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank everyone, obviously, for their time and effort. And you helping us, you know, get this system better. We know we need to improve, and that's a good thing that we have people helping us, you know, get there. So just thank you for your time and the effort. So let me just start there. What I thought I would do is go through a few things, just give you a general overview of a Metro Access, you know, some of the issues that we're all wrestling with the pandemic and things of that sort. And then I thought I'd talk a little bit about the fares, about the fare collection process and some of the issues we've had there. Our commitment to the AAC, and particularly their involvement with the procurement process of some of the things that we do, and then talk a little bit about the website. So some of these issues, Phil and the rest of the members, have been brought to my attention by Mr. Torres during the summer. And I know Christian's been working with him on some of these issues, but if they're broader issues, I just thought the whole committee should hear some of these issues as well. So that's how I'd like to have the presentation. If you don't mind, I got a few notes. I'm going to look down occasionally just to keep me on straight, but I'll obviously take any questions or comments that you have. In terms of just the overview, obviously we're committed, you know, to Metro Access and continue to make it safe and reliable as we can. And so the pandemic, as you can imagine, the impact that it's had with us, although we've reduced the route structure for our fixed rail system and some of our bus system, there were no reductions in the Metro Access, area that we served, as you know, during the pandemic. We've implemented, you know, many, many cleaning procedures, obviously with Metro Access and the entire system, and we'll continue that into the future. And, basically, if we have anyone that gets confirmed, we basically do not allow them to use the system, as you know, and we'll continue that as we continue to monitor the virus. The ridership is slowly returning across the board and with Metro Access to a degree. So that, as you can imagine, it's people are still hesitant given, you know, the conditions of the virus and the fact that a lot of things still aren't fully opened as they were pre-pandemic. We will basically, as you know, we've been doing some things is to return to share ride service on November 1st is when we're thinking of doing that. But again, we're going to continue to monitor what's happening with the virus and its variants. So we'll obviously, if anything changes in that, we will let you know. Christian will let you know. But we're committed to have all Metro Access drivers either vaccinated or tested on a regular basis. That's something that, you know, we're doing agency-wide and contract-wide. So we will continue to do that. In terms of the Abilities Ride program, we've begun to enroll customers into the new revamped Abilities Ride program. We have more than 600 enrolled right now. This new approach provides, you know, will provide to customers with trips that are free of charge. In some cases, and it offers up more flexibility in our pickups. So we think it helps with the Metro Access scheduling process, benefiting all of our customers. So sort of big picture, that's some of the things that are going on that I wanted to share with you. In terms of Metro Access fares.
Can't hear what he's saying.
I'm sorry, you can't hear?
No, I can't. One second.
That's Paul who just signed, Paul Summerford.
What happened? I was trying to click that open.
Please put yourself on mute. Please
let
yourself
on. All right, go ahead.
Are we good? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I can hear.
Okay, with
something else. I can hear. Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. In terms of Metro Access fares, as you know, the fares are set at twice the fastest fixed route fares, up to a maximum of $6.50. With the new weekend flat fare of $2 for rail service, Metro Access has a flat fare of $4 now on Saturdays and Sundays. We have received concern about the fare collector or calculator is not working properly. The management has taken a look at that and be conducting monthly reviews of all the trips and the fares charged for those trips and the fastest fixed route trip costs and then make sure that that is calculated correctly. For July 21st through August 21st time period, we reviewed over 162,000 trips, of which roughly less than 1% of the Metro Access fare was more than twice the fastest fixed route. So it was slightly more than the 650 for roughly 1%. So we're digging deeper into that to find out what's going on, what's driving those numbers so we can get on top of that. We did have a number of trips that actually were undercharged, roughly almost 40%. So there's something going on with the calculator that we've got to figure out. So we will get to the bottom of that. And we will do that, and Krishna will do that. And obviously, we'll continue to look at other fare adjustments going forward. As you may know, the board is, in their upcoming board meeting, is looking at fare policy in general. So that's across all modes that we offer. So they may make some other decisions there. But right now, we're still at the information gathering and sharing stage with the board, so that you'll see that when they meet actually on Thursday of this week. In terms of the Metro Access fare collection process, we have recently received a complaint about the Metro Access fares or how they're collected outside the vehicles rather than inside the vehicles. The current fare collection process is one that was developed with feedback from the AAC and the public. The current fare collection process also includes the use of Easy Pay to avoid any fare exchanges between customers and driver. At the moment, we have not initiated any efforts to change that Metro Access fare collection process. Again, it's one I think that's been agreed to, and we continue to do it, but I just wanted to make sure you heard that we did hear a complaint about that. In terms of the commitment to the AAC, we remain committed, obviously, to the AAC and working closely with you and learning, from the things that you bring to the table as we try to serve the disability community at large. Your advice helps us on a lot of things, including the planning and operations of the system. And while our commitment is firm, we also have certain protocols and procedures that we need to follow, particularly in the procurement area. And I know this has been, one particular issue. So in the sedan purchase, for example, leading up to that procurement, management took, I think, a number of steps to gain feedback and recommendations from the AAC. I think we worked very closely with you on that. We did consider a number of the recommendations it received in preparing for the procurement, but we also have to understand that, even though we do have your recommendations, we also have to make some judgment calls, with things that we have to look at as well. From an upcoming procurement, should be considered mandatory, not necessarily mandatory recommendations, not a mandatory, goes into the procurement. And then once it goes into procurement, it is all hands off. I mean, that's the process that we follow. And that's with any of our procurements. And so I understand at the end of a procurement process, not everything that maybe someone thought maybe would come out of it doesn't come out. But the reality is we have to keep it an open process for the funding and for the fairness among vendors. And that's what we do. So we did not, purchase the exact model that some members had hoped for. But again, I think the process was open and again, was within our procurement regulations. I think the vehicles that we do have been proved popular among many of our customers at large. And we are there's a new solicitation for 50 more sedans is currently underway. And the recommendations of the AAC, to separate the vehicle purchase and the vehicle upfitting has been included in this solicitation. So again, from the input we've gotten you. So thank you for that. And then finally on the website, we continue to make updates to the website based on your feedback. We brought a consultant team to advise us on digital accessibility. Much like the procurement process, once your input is made, the staff needs the time to put in effect the necessary changes, and that does take some time. There's been a request for a copy of the report developed by the consultant team. A summary of that report will be provided once staff has made its decision on the use of the report in the development of the competitive solicitation. Again, we have to walk a very fine line in what's shared with who gets what when you're at whatever you're doing in procurement, to give no one a particular advantage one way or the other or disadvantage. So that is one thing that we will continue to do. So with that, just as a general, again, these are some of the issues that we've heard. I know that Christian's been working on them. He's brought them to my attention. And I'd be glad to take any questions or comments that you might have from Phil or anyone else on the committee.
That's super. What I'll do is ask everybody with a question to go ahead and raise their hand and then we can go around. I'd like to just address the procurement, which seems to be okay. The problem was they had their open house for pre-procurement on Yom Kippur. And so I didn't get to attend. And so I sent a series of questions to Paul based upon what I read came out. And from the way they wrote it, it didn't sound as though they were separating the upfitting from the regular. Chris has said they are, and that's wonderful. That was the only problem. And the only question I had about the Yom Kippur is I think of Rosenthal dealerships in Virginia, and they're all over Virginia, and they handle every car you can imagine. And as opposed to the last time when they only had one bid, I'd like them to have a choice of as many cars as they have. And I think we all understand there's a shortage of cars on the market right now because of the lack of chips for the electronics. But I thought it was really important to get to choose from amongst the ones they want. And, just being a Zionist, having a meeting on Yom Kippur and knowing Rosenthal, because that's where my wife takes her cars to the next, I said, oops. There's somebody that's not going to be happy.
Well, we will reach out to them directly. Obviously, that shouldn't have been done that way. And so we'll reach out to them directly.
Yeah, and everything else is absolutely super. We're delighted. And I've asked as the pilot, and I know Mr. Goldman brought up, is the weekend Saturday and Sunday, or is it going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and that we know we will get a flat fare if that becomes sustainable and doable. And so I think as a group, we are incredibly happy about that. And our problem, not only with the fare calculator accuracy, it was one of people needed to plan financially ahead and just knowing what it was going to be, they were happy to do that. As far as paying before boarding the vehicle, Patrick was chair of the committee at that point. We spent at least three meetings discussing that. And it was a 100% vote that the problem was that there were people that were getting on the vehicle and saying, we don't have any money. And then the driver and all of the other passengers were put in a disability position of having to wait for a road supervisor and what have you to figure out what it was. And that's why we recommended that it be collected before. And it doesn't have to be collected in the street because it's door to door. And so the people can pay either by Easy Pay or they can pay at the door. So I understand Mr. Torres's problem about not wanting to stand in the neighborhood with money in your hand, but there is not a need for that. And the problems that we've had in the past of people just getting on the van and not having the money and just not wanting to get off. So that's where that issue arose. But I wanted to let you know that after multiple discussions, this committee unanimously approved collection before getting on. But I think I've covered two of the major issues that have gone around that, you know, Ms. Satori has talked to you about. And let me throw it open to other people that have their hands up.
Dr. Posner, this is Anu. We do have a member who is joining through the phone call has their hand up. So I would ask for you to unmute yourself and go ahead and make your comments, please.
Hello, this is Ansel Torres. I'm assuming you can hear me. Everyone, Mr. Wheatfeld?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
First, let me say thank you for taking the time to attend a Metro Access meeting. As you know, I have had a lot of concerns about the way that you and WMATA treats with disabled people and the Metro Access service. There are so many issues. I mean, what I gave you there, those five, that's just scratching the surface. But let's deal with what's on the plate today. Starting with the fare issue. So I had an exchange with Mr. Blake by email, who I try to share with as many people at the AAC who are supposed to be receiving these messages, and staff at WMATA regarding my challenges with the fare. I have the folks on the AAC have admitted to me that they don't understand how fares are calculated. I have asked WMATA, I have asked Mr. Blake specifically to explain how this works. And in his explanation, which is documented and shared with several people, Mr. Blake gave me one wrong answer after another. And at the end, I felt as though some of this was just being made up, seat of the pants. And maybe you need to read those emails so that you can get an understanding of what I am talking about. At the end, Mr. Blake said, after telling me that I just didn't understand the policy and sort of making me feel like an idiot, that, you know, he had explained it to me so many times and I still didn't understand it, the way that conversation ended was him saying that he has to juice the calculator. And after he, quote unquote, juiced the calculator, my fare to my sister's home in Fort Washington from Silver Spring in Maryland dropped. It dropped from $650 to, I believe, $525. I've been paying $650 to go visit my sister for quite some time now. So that means that all of those times that I've traveled to my sister, that fare was not correct. Recently, I also took a trip or several trips to Sibley Hospital from my home in Silver Spring. And that too had a similar situation where I was being charged $650 one day, and then the next day I was told that my fare was $4. And I asked Mr. Blake, we use that Sibley trip as an example of showing how this thing is broken. And he would come up with one answer, his staff would come up with another answer, I would come up with one of the two answers depending on the time that I calculated. So it clearly is showing that there is a problem with the system. And the laws of statistical probability cannot be ignored. And that law says that if it is happening to a small sample of a larger group, then it's very likely that that can be extrapolated to several other people in the group. So several other people, I'm sure I am not the only one that has been experiencing this problem, okay? And the way the calculator worked was not complying with WMATA policy. And Mr. Blake made one crazy explanation after the next. It was actually embarrassing. Okay? I don't get that. And it is for that reason that I believe that we need an independent forensic audit of this fare calculator. So that we will have some confidence that we are not being misled and lied to. Because at this point, after all of the misrepresentations that I have received from Mr. Blake and postures at WMATA, I have no confidence whatsoever in what I hear at these Metro Access meetings. Okay, it's one of those things that keeps repeating itself. People say they're going to be doing X, and they don't do X. And to me, that's a lie. We were told that procurement was going to come speak to the group. Procurement said, yes, they will come. They were on the agenda. And then at the last minute, procurement said they did not want to talk to the committee. That is disrespectful. Regarding collecting fares on the sidewalk, there are many people who take WMATA buses. Every day, they get on the bus and they don't pay their fares. Okay, what does WMATA do about those people? Absolutely nothing. They are not penalized in any way that I have heard of. They certainly don't ask the passengers who do pay their fare to pay their fare in some other way. Okay, so essentially, because we are using Metro Access, we are being penalized in ways that the people who do the same thing on Metro buses are not. That is unfair and unequal. It is what I call disability profiling. If it was racial profiling, there would be riots in the city over what WMATA is doing. So only because we are, you know, poor disabled people, we don't have lobbies to go and hire big lawyers to come and beat you guys up. We don't have deep pockets so that we can pay off this one or that one or the other one. So because we have a small voice, and sadly, many of us are not organized around this issue, we are being abused. We are being abused by that kind of policy. We're also being abused by this double fare dribble. It is utter nonsense. The law says that you cannot charge more than double the fare. The law didn't say you had to charge double the fare, and clearly you're not charging double the fare because you're doing $6.50. But the law also permits WMATA to charge $10 on the bus, on the Metro bus, but you don't do it. You charge $2, okay? It costs the WMATA, one estimate I saw was eight, for every person that takes the Metro train, it costs $8 to transport that person, $8. And you multiply that $8 by the millions of people who travel on the bus and the rail, and you will see right there that the general public is costing WMATA way more than paratransit riders in subsidies. Okay? But because there is, because if you raise the fare on the bus from $2 to $10, there will be a political bloodbath in this area, in this community. You don't do it. But because the disabled community is weak and we can't fight you, you abuse us in this manner. That is ungodly, it is unconscionable, and I believe it is a crime. It is an absolute crime what WMATA is perpetrating on people with disabilities, starting with this increase in fare back in 2011, increasing the fare from $2.80 to $3 to $7 in about an 8-month period. Do you know what kind of percent increase that is to go from paying $2.50 to $7? That is a 180% increase. Has WMATA ever had to pay 180% increase for any service it procures? Have you personally had to pay 180% increase in anything? You are well paid in the job that you have, but I assure you, if all of a sudden flying from Washington to California was going to cost you 180% more, what would you do? You would say, I guess I'm not going to California, or I would be going to California a whole lot less. And that's the same choice that poor disabled people who are well off. So they are less affected. But there are a lot of disabled people who are on limited incomes, and you're asking them to pay 180% increase? How do people who do that sleep with themselves at night? It is ungodly. It is unconscionable. And while you were not there when this happened, you were not in charge. But you are in charge now.
Mr.
Blake is in charge now, and you guys are continuing this abuse and criminal activity as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Torres, I and Mr. Sheehan, who were on the committee at the time that these things happened, will be happy to give you the surrounding events that caused this to happen. And it was not just the fare that increased, the service area decreased. And we will be happy to send that to you. What I'd like to do is let Ms. Rush have her moment, then Ms. Ray.
Well, I would like to have my questions addressed. Sir, you are stepping in on me again. The last time I asked Mr. Whitefell a question, you actually told him that he didn't have to answer that question. You are now stepping all over me. And this is what I am talking about, an echo chamber. You guys essentially want to muddle what I am asking. You're basically trying to serve as a human shield so that Mr. Whitefell does not address my question. I want my questions addressed. I don't want it muddled.
Well, I will defer to Mr. Whitefell, but I'm trying
to... Mr. Whitefell is very capable of handling himself.
If I may, Phil.
Please.
First and foremost, we do not disrespect or abuse any of our customers. That is not who we are. In terms of the biggest point you made, Mr. Torres, was around the calculator. And as I mentioned, we said there are issues with it, and we're trying to get to the bottom line of it. And that's what we will do. We will find out what is going wrong with that system, and we'll correct it. And that is what we will do. So you're correct in that there's something going on with the system, with the calculator, but we're going to get to the bottom of it and fix it. And it isn't through abuse. It isn't through lying. It's basically trying to figure out what is going wrong with it. So thank you, sir.
Well, I'd like to follow up on that.
Phil?
Hello?
Yeah, Phil, could we move on to other
folks? Denise, would you like to go? And then Doris Ray will be next. And then
I would like to speak also. Thanks,
Patrick,
Phil.
Will be after Doris. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay. Yes, this is Ms. Rush. I want to thank Mr. Winifield for coming to the meeting. I want to thank the board for adding three women on the committee. That will give us a complete view of the services that Metro Access and the AAC members need, because we didn't have good representation. And I had talked about it for quite a while now. We have three women, and I have a big smile. You can't see it, but it's there. Okay. I understand Mr. Torres's issues, but we can't address all the issues in 3 minutes. Mr. Tarris, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. We can't, you know, everybody gets three, and I think you got 6-7 minutes. So we gave you more than we usually give anybody, and those issues would be addressed. I was there in 2011 when the fare jumped from $2.50 to $3 and $3 to $7. I almost had a heart attack. I couldn't believe it. It needs to be addressed. It is 10 years later, but it's unacceptable. And we as the AAC committee cannot let that happen again, because there's no circumstances, I feel, to jump from $3 to $7. And the service area reduced. That we've got to pay attention. We've got to go to the hearings. We've got to participate and not let that happen to the handicapped community. Thank you.
Denise, thank you. Doris, you're muted.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now, yeah?
You're okay, go ahead.
Yes. Well, first I want to thank you for your testimony today and for your persistent advocacy on behalf of people with disabilities, especially people with disabilities who are using ADA paratransit, ergo metro access. And I want to commend the committee and the chair of the WMATA AAC and the staff for taking this time and hopefully taking further time to explore the issues that you brought up. But I do want to say one thing, and that is that as a person with a disability who has used fixed route all my life, and whose mother was also blind and used fixed route, and her brother and my grandmother in the Washington metropolitan area, I want to say that I feel hurt, disappointed, and yes, angry that some of the words said about fixed route users, including fixed route users who are persons with disabilities, are being said here and before. And instead, we need to be working together. And I want to say that there's some incorrect information here, particularly when you made the statement, which is what made me raise my hand, that bus riders have no consequences when they get on the bus and don't pay the fare. Now, perhaps that's on some buses in some places, but I'd say 95 to 99% of all bus drivers are people that are in the WMATA system, are people that provide excellent service. And all my life, I've respected bus drivers. And I want to say that I think that, well, that I know, I have personally sat on the bus and had a bus driver say to a customer, "You can't get on this bus without paying." And I have also seen in certain circumstances that that bus drivers have actually said, "You need to get off this bus and either requested the driver, the passenger to get off, or if necessary, called the police. And because they're under a union contract. But under certain circumstances, and when they clearly see that there might be a person who has a disability that may be cognitive or mental health or another disability, or who, people who are homeless, they may let them stay on the bus rather than have an incident that might turn into something else. Or at least they used to do this. Now that there's stricter rules, I believe. But I want to say to you that I have seen bus drivers handle a whole damn lot, and all over. Yes, in Northern Virginia. Yes, in Maryland. And yes, when I rode every day to DCCIL to work, and even now. So. What I want to say is I appreciate your comments, and we need to investigate them and work on them, but it's not Metro Access riders versus fixed route, and nobody is getting better. This is a public service that's available to anybody for whatever reason who can't drive a car, whether it's they don't have the money, they can't drive the car, they have a disability, whatever. And we need to all work together and bring out these problems and come up with solutions. That's how I feel about it as a bus rider and a person with disability. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Doris. Let me go to Patrick and then to Bong. So Patrick, you're on for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. Mr. Wiedefeld, it's good to talk with you again. And I would like to take exception to what Ansel Torres said. I don't believe that he is speaking for the disabled community. Perhaps he is speaking for himself, but he's certainly not speaking for me. I have been working with the committee for, 25, 30 years? And I have seen over the time where we've had disagreements, we've been on opposite sides of the issue, but I think over time we have worked out a lot of the problems. There is certainly a lot, the board, yourself, the staff have done an incredible job with working with the AAC over time. And so I want to say thank you for that partnership. Our ability to come to you with issues and concerns and possible solutions, some of which you take and some of which you don't. So I know I would hope that you would think that part of what you've heard does not represent the disabled community and certainly doesn't represent me. I think that there is a long history for the fare calculator. When it first started out, the fare calculations were different than they are now. They actually award you the lowest fare for the 30-minute time frame, which they didn't do originally. And so that has been an alteration. But I also think that if there are issues with the fare calculator, let's take a look at them and let's see what they come up with. What I'd like to see is the range of times when you were overcharged, but also the times when you were undercharged. So we need to know how accurate is that fare calculator. Perhaps people have been undercharged for the length of their trips, which is one of the innovations that fare calculator was, they put into the fare calculator. I think it was about 5 or 10 years ago. Lastly, I would like to congratulate you on a project that is just starting off with Waymaps and Good Maps. The disabled community in the Washington, D.C. area, the blind community in Maryland and Virginia is very pleased with the project. We're excited to see the project going forward, and we will be happy to work with WMATA to make sure that that project does a good job within the metro stations and elsewhere in Washington, D.C. to make a difference for disabled people using the Metro system. So thank you for what you do. I appreciate the work that you have done. I appreciate the relationship we have with the staff. They are first class, and you need to be proud of them. And this is a very good committee, and I think we all respect what you do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Patrick. I know that when I first came in, I know one of the higher priorities was the lighting at the stations. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we worked on, and as you know, have spent millions of dollars on now to do that. But I think it is another example of, you know, listening. Obviously, you know, we had a lot of things we had to go through to get there. But I think that for people with low visibility, it's made a huge difference for them. It's much safer. And I think it's another example of how we work together to let's figure out the best way to get there. And we'll do that same thing on the calculator.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have two more people if you have time for that. And Barbara Millville is on
the
head of the low vision group that did a lot of the early scouting for the lighting. And I think we all really thank her for what she has done. So Bongo, you've been very patient. Go ahead, unmute yourself. Take your 2 minutes.
Thank you. So actually, I don't have any issues. I just saw that you replied back to me. So I just wanted to hop on and introduce myself. But I do see that you read the message. So that message actually came to you in no response to any of the other comments that had come in. So I just want to make that perfectly clear. I will say, I sit on a lot of committee meetings, and I sit on a lot of board meetings across the board. Officially, I'm not a part of this particular committee, but I will say this is one of the most organized and better committees that I've sat on throughout the year. I've heard some good and I've heard some bad. Yes, again, my whole purpose of raising my hand was just to make sure that you saw the direct message that I sent to you. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Dr. Posner, this is Anu. Thomas Mangrum has had his hand up.
Yes.
So Mr. Mangrum, please go ahead and make your comments. And Elber Ariza Silva, he is another AAC member. He has written me an email with his comments. And after Mr. Mangrum, I will go ahead and read his questions.
Thank you, Anu.
Sure.
Thomas, go ahead.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My thing is it's more like a question. Is it possible for the Easy Pay account for money for us to be able to set it up, that some of my money automatically comes from my account on into the Easy Pay account? And then for those of us who might have programs that put money in that account for us, that they'll take a certain amount of money out on a regular basis. And that way, when you'll have people sign up for Metro Access and they go to the interviewing process, you could let them know about some of the problems that people had when they hand cash to the person. Because sometimes they might not have the money at the time or whatnot to get on the Metro Access vehicle, but they have a certain amount of money coming to the account every month that they don't have to really worry about having cash or being seen in their neighborhood as having some money. Because when you're a wheelchair user like myself, you could easily be a target.
True.
Easily be a target. So it's not safe to pull out money out of your pocket or what have you. But I've been using Metro Access Easy Pay account because I don't feel comfortable with pulling money out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal. Can somebody fix it so during the interviewing process for every new person that they get told that y'all do recognize the danger and y'all can set up something that some money get taken out of their bank account to hold to the Easy Pay account every month?
Yes, so thank you very much. That can be arranged through your bank, but let me ask Allison Anderson. Is there a way that we could help Mr. Mangum or other customers set up an automatic transfer, or should they be doing this through their bank?
Well, I know, like, for EasyPay right now, they have it for subscription tricks, but that's the only thing where they have things set up for.
Well, thank you.
But let's, Bill, I'll look further into that to see if there's other things we can do, you know, to make that easier for people to do.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thomas.
And Paul Wiedefeld, if you have time, we can give Barbara Millville her minute or two. She has her hand up and she has earned it. Barbara, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. This is Barbara. I wanted to add something to this discussion, please. I'm very concerned about the health of Metro and its budget. I know you've been working with the federal government, but that money is not guaranteed to keep flowing. And I know that all the cleaning supplies that you need to purchase over this long 18 months or so time during the COVID, which we are still in this, has added a lot, unplanned or variable expense. And I do believe that the AAC cannot operate in a vacuum and just assume that the money will be there for to cover these costs. And I know that some of the people cannot afford to have an increase in the paratransit fare or the bus or the rail fare. But, you know, if Metro cannot keep these buses and rails running, then there certainly would not be a paratransit. So just please try to also consider these things.
Thank you, Barbara. I'll just give you a quick update. We do have funding available. We're estimating that will carry us through this fiscal year, which just started on July 1, or not 2 months, a few months ago, through this fiscal year and the next fiscal year because of the large federal dollars that we got. And then it really depends on the ridership coming back. On the rail ridership, we're back up to about 29% from pre-pandemic levels, but we were down to about 10% of pre-pandemic levels. On the bus side, we're up to about 61%, just over 60% of pre-pandemic levels. And we were down to about 25%. So obviously that's, you know, the gap, you know, as more riders come back, that helps with the revenue side and then it keeps us obviously going. But it's a big issue for us because it's the pandemic, but it's also the changing travel behavior that that we're all anticipating through teleworking, through meetings like we're doing now, and the impact that has. So the board is wrestling with that right now. They'll wrestle with it a little bit more as we prepare the next year's budget, but we also have to think longer term. So that's why some of the things the board's done recently to try to get more riders back, whether it's the flat fare, whether it's the fare sale we're having, things of that sort, are all designed to say, come back and use this, please. But right now, with the uncertainty around particularly the variant right now, the Delta variant, it's a very uncharted territory for us all. But I hear you very loud and clear that, and it's, you know, it's our mission. And I think it's so important to the region that we have high quality transit service for the entire community. And that's what we'll continue to pursue. But I think we all have to recognize that we are in some very tough times and we'll work through that. And we're very fortunate to have the large amount of federal dollars that we've had to keep us afloat for another. And again, it's not that we don't have revenues coming in, but not to the scale that we had. But clearly, I think from a budget perspective, we're in good shape for the next 18 months plus. But a lot of that depends on what happens in the virus. If it were to go, obviously, in a bad direction, that would be tough on us. But I'm hoping the opposite, that things start to open up. And I think we've seen a lot of that in the region to date, and I think it'll continue. So thank you for your comments.
Yeah, and I wanted to say I'm very sorry to learn about the 7th Metro employee passing due to COVID. Yeah. That's very scary, and thank you so much for your dedicated workforce that, you know, other transit agencies have had a lot more loss than that. Yeah. So
Thank you, Barbara.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah, and from the round table, Paul knows this, one of the big points was the community transit agency interactions with things like the Better Business Bureau, the Urban League, the universities in the area, and the new Secretary of Transportation as a former mayor in Notre Dame territory knows about that interaction. I know about that in Gainesville, Florida with the University of Florida. Two of the new board members have a lot of interactions with organizations like the Urban League. And so these are ways that I'm sure we will work out. And let me let Philippa Mazzell have 2 minutes. She's one of our committee members from DC and very active. So Philippa, if you will go on.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, Mr. Wiedefeld. I just wanted to express my appreciation that you are ordering the sedans because I'm unable to use the metro van because it makes me ill and the windows are so big and the glare bothers my eyes. But I missed if you said what the vehicle is and when you expect them to arrive.
We're in the middle of a procurement process, so I can't project in terms of, you know, but obviously we'll keep the advisory committee up to date.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's super. Paul, I'll turn it back to you. If you have anything else or it may be time to go home.
Yeah.
I'd like to get an opportunity to speak. Please, I've been requesting, and my call has not been
responded to. You've already spent more time than anyone else, and you have questions.
Well, my hope was this was going to be an opportunity to try and find a way out of some of these problems that we're having. So what I'm hearing here is that this essentially was just an opportunity to dilute what I was saying and not really solve or really try to understand where I'm coming from with these issues. If that's all it was, then, you know, all we're doing is playing in a 3-minute sandbox and not really accomplishing anything. Mr. Wiedefeld, I still would like to have a meeting with you. This does not suffice for what I need to have covered. And I request in front of the committee an opportunity to meet with you individually so these issues can be addressed. You can do that request as you wish, sir, but I want to put that on the record at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tourist. Phil, if I could just a few final comments. One is, I think we really do have to, I think it was just mentioned, you know, the staff, the frontline people, you know, the reality that they have worked through this entire, you know, this last 18 months, is really just a testament to their commitment to the community and the community we serve. And I don't think we should take that for granted. They were key to keeping, you know, a lot of the essential, you know, things that we take for granted in operations during the last 18 months. I mean, the people that go to the hospitals to support the doctors, you know, that's the people we were moving. And our people were doing it at great risk, to be frank. And continue to be a great risk. So I think we just have to make sure that, you know, any chance we get, we have to show our appreciation for those people because that is tremendous stress on them every day and their families. And I just want to make sure that, and I heard it from a number of your members, but I mean, that's very important. I think we're very fortunate to have a workforce that does that. So I just want to, again, commend them for what they do day in, day out.
No, they are superb. Steve Chaffin, unfortunately, is not here, but he is one of the ones that always tells us about the bus drivers and how great they are. His most recent was being on a bus where the 42 is being followed by the 47, and someone on the 42 was going to transfer. And the driver of the 42 at that stop told the passenger to get off at that stop and that they would hold the other one for them to transfer. And those are the sorts of things that they do. Yeah. I have been on temporary buses where the bus driver has asked people to get off the bus because they were taking the disability seats. Mm-hmm. And so they're fantastic. And anybody that has driven any car through the streets of DC driving one of those big buses through Georgetown deserves a medal. And that's why they do so well at the rodeo every year.
That's right. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for the entire committee. All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld.
You helped make it good evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're back to our meeting here. Let's see. Did we do review the minutes? Yep.
Not yet. We had one more guest, Paul, and what we were going to do is let Transfer DC do their presentation.
Oh, okay, cool.
And come
that's
back
fine.
And do the beginning stuff.
And then, okay, that's perfectly fine.
And you're in charge. I'm going to mute myself.
All right. So Transport DC, please present. Whoever's here to present for that presentation.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Paul, and thank you. Well, this is Wendy Cloncher. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor for the Department for Higher Vehicles in DC. We operate or we manage and operate the Transport DC program, which is an alternative to Metro Access for DC residents. Let me just test to make sure. Can you all hear me all right?
Yes, we can. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you. So Transport DC, the program is changing as of October 1st. We're changing it to ensure program sustainability. We want to make sure it's there in the future, and we want to provide customers more choice in their trips. So the program as of now and up until October 1st is that trips are unlimited the first 15 days of the month. Then the last 15 days of the month, users can go to employment locations or medical locations only. We're removing all those trip restrictions and allowing 10 customers to have 10 trips per month to use however they like. And that's 10 one-way trips. Also, as of October 1st, the fare is gonna go up from $5 to $7. That's the first fare increase that the program has seen since its inception in about 2015. And dialysis trips will not count towards the 10 trip cap limit. So people on dialysis can get an exemption and take Transport TC to and from dialysis and also get their 10 trips per month for any other destination. So we have let our customers know we are in the process of doing that, where there's been some delays with the mail, but we've done letters, we've done text blasts, and we've done robocalls to let customers know to get ready for this change as of October 1st. We've also provided information on other DC transportation options available. There's a list of alternatives at the website, along with frequently asked questions about these changes and the dialysis exemption form. They're all at dfhv.dc.gov. All of those materials are available to you. So, and I think maybe my coworker, Ty Stover, who's the Transport DC program manager, might be on. So I just wanted to acknowledge him. And with that, I ask for any questions.
Yep, I'm here.
Thomas,
thank you.
Mangrum spoke. So you want to speak, sir? Before I get Thomas and then Phil, I see hands up.
Yes, thank you. My question is this. With the 10 trips that you said mentioned per month, one way, so that means we take like 5 trips in a month, like going somewhere and coming back home. That's all we could do, right?
That is correct.
Oh, man. Okay, when you said that you don't lift the restrictions, do that mean with the 5 trips that we could take going in, the 10 trips we could take going anywhere?
That's correct.
Can we take that after the 15th of every month, or that's strictly for dialysis appointments and work?
It's the exemption is strictly for dialysis users going to and from dialysis.
But before the 15th of every month, we could go anywhere we want to.
I'm sorry, misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, to your point, I'm sorry, Wendy.
Go ahead.
Basically, to your point, Mr. Mangrum, you're correct. You have 10 trips to go anywhere throughout the month, unrestricted within the DC borders. After your 10 trips, that is it. So to your point, that's 5 round way trips if you use them that way.
Right.
Okay. But they're unlimited. And I mean, as far as restrictions, you can go to any destination within the city.
But it's only 5 because like before.
Five if you're counting round trips.
But before, from the 1st to the 15th,
it can be.
It wasn't restricted to just 10 trips.
Correct.
Let's see.
So now you have a total of 10 individual trips, or if you look at it from a round trip standpoint, 5 round trips to anywhere in the city. Correct.
So we are limited now.
You are capped.
Oh.
At, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cap. So the cap is 10 trips. In any given calendar month, starting on the 1st to the end of that month.
Correct.
10 trips total.
Correct.
Oh, God. Okay.
Then PC quarter. So next, I believe, is Phil.
Yeah, Wendy, I know you can't do that now, but the FTA roundtables had presentations from Kansas City and from New Orleans and Seattle. And one of the things they do with their parallel transit to what you're providing is permit the vehicles to pick up food, because they find that food is as important as dialysis and other things. And many of the stores in the area do have curbside pickup. And so what they do is they have their Metro Access or DC Transit equivalent drive out, pick up the food curbside, and then bring it back to the people that are homebound because of the flu. And it's something that I'd just like you all to consider as a possibility.
Sure.
Any other questions as it relates to this topic?
Chair Summerford, this is Anu. We do have a few hands up, and I would go them in the order of the members first, and then members of the public.
As it relates to this topic here.
Yes, as it relates to the topic. Philippa Mazel.
Hi again. Yes, Paul, I will be on topic. my question is, how did you, well, first of all, good evening to you, and thank you for coming to the meeting. But my question is, how did you arrive at the magic number of 10? Because it's a nice round number, or was it calculated based on, cost projections or something? And also, is this still going to be the round robin of the various cab companies, or can you call directly to the cab company that you want?
Sure, I can answer those. Thank you, Philippa, for those questions. So the 10 trip limit, we started at 8 because we know 80, we looked at the usage by all our users, and 80% of our users use 8 or fewer trips a month. We started at 8, and then in working with our user group, the Transport DC user group, there were concerns about 8, so we bumped it to 10. And that's how we got to 10. As far as the round robin, that will continue. Users cannot call the individual cab company they prefer. They still have to call the 1-844 number.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Philippa. Doris Ray, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
You called me, right, Anu?
Yes, I did. Go ahead, Doris.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Doris.
I wanted to say it's wonderful to have you back as our former staff of the Access for All Committee at the Metropolitan Area Council of Governments, TPB. She was just an exceptional staff member and was always a great advocate for Metro Access. So my question, since I live in Virginia and I try to keep up with all of these things, could you explain, I was of the understanding that Transport DC was a service that supplements Metro Access, So am I correct about that? And is this a demand response rather than a 24-hour advance service? And I'm not clear about you were saying there's a $5 fare and $7 fare, but why did I think that it was free? I'm not clear about all that stuff.
Could okay.
you just briefly? Yeah.
Sure.
So we can find out how Metro Access fits into all of this.
Sure. Mm. So thanks for those questions. Great to hear your voice as well, Dorothy. So Transport DC is an alternative to Metro Access for DC residents. It's not ADA for transit. It's a premium same day alternative service. It is available 24 hours a day. Customers can call 24 hours a day and be expected to get a cab within 30 minutes. The fare has always been $5 for Transport DC. Maybe when it started out in its, as a CAPS program very early on, it might've been free, but it's been $5 for, I think since 2016, since we started charging a fare, it's been $5. Now it's going to $7.
Yeah, it was never free. Abilities Ride is free. I think that's what we've been talking about. But yeah, CAPS DC and Transport DC has always been a $5 fare.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find out. Is it an equivalent to Abilities Ride? But it sounds like it's halfway between Abilities Ride and Arlington Star somehow.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. Yes.
Are there any other speakers as it relates to this topic? Any other questions?
Yes, I've requested to speak. This is Axel Torres.
Yep. Does it relate to this? Hope this relates to this topic here?
Yes, of course it does.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, so as you may have heard from my prior comments, I am very price sensitive. And so I'm very interested in finding out how Transport DC came up with a 40% increase on disabled people who live on limited incomes, except for those, you know, federal government workers who get their transportation paid by the government. It's good to be in that club, but most of us are not in that club. So if you can tell me how did you guys, what was the process that you went through to do that? And how do you justify a 40% increase on disabled people? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. So the fare, as I said, has not been raised since the inception of the program. Transport DC is a same day premium program. So it needs to be priced in line with similar programs. So you're getting a direct trip, not a shared trip, 24 hours a day. You only have to request 30 minutes ahead. So that costs more than like a Metro Access service. So that's why we're moving to the $7 fare.
And if I could just add, you know, Wendy doesn't need my defense or anything, but it's the same process, but I watched your team, you and your team go through this process, and I participate in your meetings, which are great meetings as well. It's budgeting and it's planning and it's forecasting ridership and it's understanding the same budgeting process that Wendy and her team went through to figure out a fare for a premium service. A premium service, same day, call, I think at the time we created it was less than an hour. Now I'm not sure the time they asked.
Yeah, so it's an hour. Yep, you're right, Chris.
Mr. Blake, you
got... Oh, I'm sorry, I hit my knee, I'm sorry. But it's a service whose costs have not gone up for now. This is going on almost 9 years. Now you tell me anything else that you know of out there in the world whose costs have not gone up, because you know that the cab companies and their drivers, who are also middle income or just there,
low income,
they're facing increased costs. But the same way Transport DC, for a limited number of trips for a premium, you need that trip today, ride is going up in a fair increase after 9 years or so. Same way we're offering a option for customers that is free. We're bringing about fairness in an all around way. And as I just like to say, before the pandemic, we gave away over 60,000 trips to customers here through Abilities Ride free of charge. As Mr. Wiederfeld pointed out, we're signing up customers now over 800. Actually, when we talked about it was at 600. We've increased over 200 more signees over the last weekend. So you have to look at the overall balance. A customer who's a resident of Washington, D.C. and wants a free trip, perhaps they can get it. You book your trip on Metro Access and let's see. And on the weekends, we're bringing those fares down. But when you need that urgent same day service, that's what Transport DC can provide. So a little planning on the customer side can help avoid some of the $7 fares, but they've gone through a painstaking process. It's budgeting, it's planning. We've done the same thing. And what we're trying to do is keep fares steady, keep the service area wide, and give customers with disabilities as many options as possible throughout this region. And that's what you're seeing this whole effort, the growing up. They're a great partner. I'm surprised you've been able to hold on this long, but the mayor of DC has made a firm commitment to Transport DC. The fare increase, nobody wants to see fares go up, but nobody wants to see costs go up either, but we know that they do. So that's how that planning process does come about.
And Mr. Blake, just wanted to say, that this is Todd Stowe with DFA Tree, that copay actually goes to the drivers. So it does help support, again, the program as well as the actual direct participants, meaning the drivers in this case, to that program. So,
well, if I may follow up, the trend in transportation is to free transportation. The country of Luxembourg now charges zero for public transportation. Okay. So when you're increasing by 40%, you're moving in the absolute opposite direction. Other cities have found ways to subsidize transportation for people with disabilities. If they can do it in other cities, they can do it here as well. And when you set up a price like $7, what you're doing is you're dividing people into the elites who can pay and the non-elites who cannot pay. And that is unconscionable by any definition. Thank you very much. That's the end of my comments on this topic.
Thank you so much. Bong, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Paul. I'm not sure if you heard me earlier when I was telling Mr. Wiederfeld, but officially I'm not on any board here, but excuse me, I do work for the state. My question is, and I'm just trying to get familiar with all of the different programs across the state. This particular program, is that whether it's a hike or not, whether it's $5 or $7, is that a flat fee or is that a fee that is?
No, it's a flat fee.
It is a flat fee. Okay. And it covers just DC or?
Yes. It's Transport DC is only for DC residents.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Anyone else for this topic? We do need to move on. It's about 5:15. We do need to get through a couple of items here that we had to put off because of big presentation.
This is Ms. Rush. We need to state that this is not a pilot program decision. This is a permanent decision. Because last week it was mentioned that this is going to be a pilot, but this is a permanent position.
That's correct.
Correct. Yeah.
That's correct. Thank you, Ms. Rush.
This is a fare increase. This is a new fare for the Transport DC program.
And the 10 rides is permanent. It's not a pilot.
That's correct.
That is correct as well.
Thank you.
This is Doris. I just want to ask a question. the question is the DC Transport, as I understand it, so please correct me if I'm wrong, is funded with DC money and does not use any of the Metro local jurisdiction subsidy. Is that
that's
a correct,
correct
statement?
That's correct.
And,
yes.
And that's where I think the rubber meets the road, because we in Fairfax County have explored, or at least had discussions with people about having, you know, on-demand services and such, and perhaps even removing, there was one proposal to take the money, the subsidy out of Metro Access and put it into some kind of local on-demand service. But if I understand the math, and I'm really bad at math, that would just destroy what we've got as a region, because, you know, each jurisdiction putting in money to the regional system and therefore the regional ADA paratransit as we've designed it here is an advantage to people with disabilities, because we don't have to change from one paratransit system to another paratransit system to another, because there's an economy of scale here. But so that DC Transport and other systems of its nature are filling in some holes that are needed, just like Abilities Ride. Is that all correct? Am I making correct assumptions? I don't think financially Metro Access would work if counties pulled out some or all of their subsidy, because there's not enough subsidy for Metro Access right now.
Well, you might let Glenn Gillis answer this. Glenn is here, and he knows all about the local systems like STAR and what have you, and how it affects.
And then after this, we do need to move back to our agenda to what was left.
Thank you. STAR is just using it in lieu of Metro Access Ride,
I'll cover some of this in my brief, because we are kind of running out of time. So, Mr. Chair, AAC Chair, I get the chairs mixed up.
Okay,
let me just address some of this in my little summary of the Abilities Ride, so that I can be quick and you guys can get to your administrative parts of the meeting.
Really quick. I'm sorry, I just have one other quick question. Is this just for medical appointments, or is this for all types of rides?
Any purpose.
Okay,
any
purpose. That's all I needed, thank you.
So Mr. Blake, I'm gonna have you close out this topic with them and then go into yours directly. And then hopefully we have time to do some of the other pieces at the end for our, you know, approving agenda and all that stuff, so go.
Okay, yeah, so again, real quick, Transport DC has done a great job. If you all remember, it started right there in those AAC meetings. So you're familiar with it if you've been on the committee a long time. And it is, as somebody described earlier, a supplement. It is an alternative to Metro Access. And that's one of the things we're trying to do throughout the region. STAR and FASTRAN were the early adopters, if you will. And then it took a very, very long time between those creations and then another jurisdictional operated alternative for people with disabilities, and that is Transport DC. And instead of trying to get every jurisdiction to create their own individual version of Transport DC, if you will, we just went on ahead and created Abilities Ride, which is now region wide. And we started off making it sort of a model like Transport DC. Hey, it worked there. Let's just copy it and just make it bigger. But we've learned over time there are budgetary considerations and planning considerations and other things we needed to do. So we've rolled out the new version of Abilities Ride. And that's where we want to give customers free rides, but no one particular trip is guaranteed to be moved to Abilities Ride. So you should always be prepared to ride Metro Access and pay the Metro Access fare. But in an effort, and also in giving those free rides, though, we're giving you a little more flexibility in terms of the time you want to be picked up. Those who are using Uber, they directly click on a link and say, Uber, I'm ready, regardless of what time they booked with Metro Access. Those using a taxi cab can call the taxi cab driver, taxi cab company, and tell them when they're ready to be picked up. One thing you can get on a taxi you can't get on Uber is, and we're not gonna, you know, make this a big part of the program because then that can become out of control as well. But I look at the discussions every day through our communication with the taxi cab companies. People like with disabilities, just like myself, in the middle of the day, things can happen. And actually, well, I'm not going back to work after, you know, this medical appointment. I want to go home instead. Can I change my drop off? Well, with the taxi cab companies, we've been allowing that. So we're trying to give customers a lot of flexibility. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we're asking customers now to sign up, and they go online and sign up for the program. And if they have trouble signing up for the program, my office assistant, she's been signing people up individually. I've done a few, but with everything else going on, I usually let her sign them up directly. And again, right before this meeting, the number was 822. So a lot of customers are responding. They're trying it out. Some have found that, yeah, this is not really quite for me. And when they find that out, and our quality assurance team or anybody from the team lets me know that a customer wants to opt out, that's not a problem whatsoever. So just real quick, the summary of abilities, right? The quick, fast, and in a hurry description of it. Customers enroll in the program. By enrolling in the program, what they're doing is giving Metro Access the permission to move one or more of their trips to another service provider, either Uber or a local taxi company. If Metro Access chooses to move one or more of their trips during the scheduling process, that trip will be free of charge, and the customer will be communicated through either a text message from Uber, if that's who they receive the trip from, or a phone call and perhaps a text message from the taxi company. Once that is underway, the customer can cancel their trip, pick the time they want to be actually picked up. And in some cases, as we say with taxis, they can even change their drop-off destination. You can't change your pickup destination because when you're dealing with taxis, pickups have to be within a certain jurisdiction. So you can't call Metro Access and say, my trip at 2 o'clock is going to be picked up in DC. But then when we assign the trip to a DC taxi, we find out now because a friend has taken you to Upper Marlboro, we can't have that DC taxi go out to Upper Marlboro to pick you up. So there's some limitations there. And what we're going to do is just continue to allow customers the option to be in the program or to opt out. Keep in mind, there are no special lists. We've done away with those special lists a long time ago on some other things, as some of you all may remember me talking about back in the day. But no one is guaranteed that their trip will be moved. Every day, it's a different strategy in terms of our planning. On Mondays, for example, we know that if the Washington football team wins, we may need a little more support early in the morning because people are out celebrating that victory. Fortunately, they don't win that often, Flipper. but on Tuesdays, we don't need as much support early in the morning. Ooh. Perhaps we need, I know, I was waiting for you, Sean. Maybe we need more support in the middle of the day. So it's the day of, excuse me, we make decisions on the service hours, what hours of the day would a abilities ride trip be most advantageous for the customer? Because again, we're trying to keep every customer's trip on time and within their window and giving them flexibility. So it's trip time, trip distance, and what's the third one? There's trip time, the distance, and just the day of the hours of the service in terms of changing the trips. So we think we found a positive. It gives customers a lot of flexibility. The better we do overall in our service, the more trips we'll be able to move to Abilities Ride and more customers will be able to benefit. But again, for some perspective, pre-pandemic, in our kind of very old-fashioned way of looking for customers to try this out with, we were able to give away 15,000 free trips a month. Under this new, more efficient way, we can do far more than that, but it really depends on how much ridership returns to Metro Access as well, because we're always going to make sure that we have enough vehicles, because Metro Access is a safety net, but we're always going to make sure that Metro Access as the safety net is protected first and foremost. We're not going to turn your civil rights over to third-party companies that we don't have control of. But that's my update on Abilities Ride. I can take some questions, and we'll talk, of course, more and more as the months and years ensue, but I'll take some questions now.
All right, so I'm going to put my first, and then I see the hands up from Vanessa, Denise, Bong, and Doris in that order. So my first question is, I signed up, and I've experienced a few rides, and you're saying that we should have a choice or we should be notified. I get a notification right, 10, 15 minutes before the trip, or it just says, like, for instance, I had a trip with Pentagon City the other day. It's telling me the vehicles is coming. The only option it gave me is whether or not you want to take this trip or not. It didn't tell me what time. The vehicle was already assigned and coming. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Uber. I didn't get a choice or a link. It was already a text that your vehicle's coming, and it's right at the beginning of the window.
Okay, so yours has a couple of things. Let me explain. So one, if we're talking about a trip in which you call the Where's My Ride, and they and the staff of the OCC booked your trip on Metro Access, that trip was booked as a scheduled time, because you're calling in and saying, where's my ride? They're informing you that your van may be late. Your pickup time is 11:45. They're going to book that trip at 11:45 pickup, and Uber sends you the link and gives you the update. If your trip, however, was booked the night before, but 11:45 at night, it's not likely, but it's possible, but it's a little less likely because we generally have vehicles available. But if your trip is booked the night before, you receive what is called a flex trip. Uber sends you notification that you have a trip tomorrow from point A to point B, and you click on this link when you're ready to be picked up. So that gives you the choice to be able to say what time you want to be picked up. In terms of the taxi cab, when you received a taxi cab trip, that was pre-booked, and you could have called the taxi company and say ahead of time, I'm going to be running late today, yellow cab, if you will. I'm just using a company. Do you have the availability to pick me up an hour later? If not, I'll stick with my regular time. But if you do, I'd rather you move my trip back an hour. I'm not saying it's going to be guaranteed every time, because, again, these are the regular services that you and I can use when we're not being subsidized by Metro. But it does give you more flexibility than is allowed on Metro Access currently.
So right now it's 5:28. I'm going to take the calls from these people. Looks like, and I also need to find out from Anu whether or not we have public comments, because I do need to take those before it ends. Everything else is going to have to be pushed out to the next meeting to deal with administratively. I'm going to take Vanessa and Deborah Fisher, because we've not heard from them, and then we're going to move with other people. So Vanessa, go.
Vanessa, she's still on mute. Vanessa, please unmute your phone, please, for your computer.
And Paul, this is Pat. I think I have my hand raised too.
Okay.
So yes. Well, we're waiting for Vanessa. Yep. Can Patrick go ahead?
No.
Let's go with Deborah Fisher. I'm going with people we haven't heard from yet. Deborah,
go. I got you. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just need to clarify, Mr. Blake. This is still the same Metro scheduling system, at least 24 hours in advance?
Yes, ma'am.
Or So, and then it's a matter of timing when the OCC decides that they have to switch it over to Abilities Ride. Is that what?
Correct. It's a matter of scheduling, I would say. I call it scheduling. So all the trips for the day are booked as normal. Right. Then when we go through the scheduling process and looking at plans, what have we seen over the last several Mondays, if you will? What have we seen on the last several Tuesdays, if we use today as an example? So at 5:30 today, all the trips were in, and that was the end of the reservation period. Now we're going into huddle, if you will, and produce the schedules for tomorrow. And then the parameters that are chosen for tomorrow in terms of service area, the hours of the trips that we may consider having the computer identify, the length of the trips, and the destinations, we would allow the computer to help us select the trips that would be moved to the third parties.
So two additional questions. The first is, are these shared trips or are they single trips?
Okay, so right now, as Metro Access is a direct trip service, we've requested and required the Transport DC companies, even though it's a little different from their business model, to be direct trips as well. Now, Uber, it's pretty simple because you have a choice. You can either do a direct trip or you could do Uber Pool. We're not doing any pool trips at the moment, but when it could be November 1st, it could be December 1st, it could be January. Again, we're looking, as the general manager said, we're going to check and see how the progress of the fighting this pandemic comes along. But when Metro Access returns to shared ride service, we will give the companies that have partnered with us in this Abilities Ride, if their model includes shared rides, they'll have the option of shared rides as well.
And just to be clear, this is not the old program where they can call directly into the Abilities Ride system.
That is correct.
In real time. Okay. And is the free ride right now just part of a trial to bring people on board? Or
I would call it a promotional fare. Okay. But there are other, if you want to say, structural impediments to us collecting a fare, because we really want this to be a decentralized type of approach. This is just me philosophically. I've always believed that paratransit, from where I came, because that's what we did over there, we just brought it here. I believe paratransit is a safety net. That's just not a slogan for me. That's a way of life. And I believe that everybody with a disability has some form of independence. Now, we have to find that common ground for each customer and their independence and create an opportunity for them to utilize their independence. But I don't believe paratransit, Metro Access here, needs to be the beginning and the end of a person with disabilities transportation option. And so I want to be able to decentralize it as much as possible and giving people their freedom and flexibility according to their disability and their independence abilities.
All right, Denise, followed by Patrick.
I think we need to change the name because when you say accessibility, the accessor ride, it makes you think it's the same day service. And the flex is not the same day. It's confusing to understand.
That's a fair point. I thought about that, but the truth be told, Ms. Rush, I thought at the end of the day, the decision was made that it would be more confusing if we create a new name as opposed to educating.
You use flex.
No, flex is not the name of the program. I know we talk about it. Flex is something we're trying to give. Flexibility is something we're trying to give to the customers. But the name of the program is Abilities Ride. That's absolute. But the flexibility is what we're trying to impart to the customers.
Okay, well, I'm just stating that it's confusing to some customers. And it's confusing to me, you know, because in their mind they're saying, oh, I can call the same day, but you can't. And then I got a call from a customer who says that they ordered a regular Metro access trip or requested it. And then they specifically said, coming back, I would like to be on the taxi. Can you do that? I mean, can you be on the flex? And can you request that? Because it needs to be made clear that you can't do that.
Well, let me be clear about this. As I always say with everything, I'm in the accommodation business, and I want to hear this management team. Let me just put it this way: this management team, not I. I use I too much. It's in my name, but you know, Chris is. This management team believes in hearing from the customers and hearing what the customer wants, whether that means a van only, whether that means they only want to ride in sedans, whether that means they want to be in a taxi. I want to hear from the customers, and we're going to try our best as a team, working with our scheduling folks and a management directive to accommodate every wish of a customer. However, mm-hmm. So they should say, yes, coming back, I want a taxi. They should say that. But as I've said with the sedans, and I've said with other things, and I've said with this new abilities ride, just because you're in the program doesn't guarantee you that your trip will be moved. So you should never book a trip with the mindset that, oh, I'm getting a trip on Uber tomorrow. That's not the way it works. But I want to hear from the customers, even on the day that they're booking their trip, and then we can help make some decisions from there.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Paul. Make it quick. Mr. Blake, I have heard from individuals in Abilities Ride who have guide dogs that when they get Uber trips, that the Uber drivers are passing them up, maybe two or three, let's say. If that happens, is it reportable to WMATA? Or yes. Are we looking at Uber as an independent company that can do what they want? No. So they are.
No, you report it in. They can, I hate to say call me, but I'm going to have to decentralize myself from a lot of this. I'm doing too much already. But you call Metro Access and report it. And the beauty of this, just like I could see what vehicle customers rode in and everything else, we can find that driver and
penalize the driver.
Deal with that accountability person.
So there is accountability through Metro Access. Great. Thank you, sir.
All right. Next is Doris, followed by Mr. Torres.
Okay. First, Mr. Blank, thank you for explaining this, but I am absolutely overwhelmed and confused. And since we here in Northern Virginia haven't had the chance to do the initial abilities ride. Mm-hmm. Now I'm really confused. But second, I don't know whether that original abilities ride is going to be there where, you know, you pay your $5 out of 20 and Metro pays 15 and then you pay the rest, whether that's going to be another option versus, or whether everything is going to be folded into this new model for abilities ride, which sounds like it supplements what you need if you have a Metro Access ride and you need to flex it on one of the other ends. And then the second question is, are you going to do training in Northern Virginia? The third is the observation that I think this is real confusing for me, and although I'm not a regular yet Metro Access rider, but are you going to do some training for us over here in Northern Virginia? Never got a chance to do the regular abilities, right? And then will this soon we will have the second phase of the Silver Line? And if this is something what I'm trying to say here is, if I was looking at the regular abilities ride, I was going to ask you if once the subway opens out there, whether people, whether they're at the subway hub or not, who live in Loudoun County and are already eligible for Metro Access, whether they will be able to schedule one of these rides to get across the border from Loudoun to, say, Sterling and Loudoun to Sterling and Fairfax or to Fairfax Government Center or something like that, whether they're going to be able to get across the border using this abilities ride. And the last thing, I hope you're taking a list. But the last thing is important. This is important to me as a person. This is important to me as a person. Please let me just ask this one last thing. What I see here is that when the bus doesn't run, when buses don't run, or in late night when we don't have bus service, those of us who have disabilities who are still trying to ride the fixed route service, if we need to go somewhere, we won't have any option except to take a regular taxi ride, have to wait for it, and there are long waits now, and have to pay huge. And we're all willing to do that, those of us who are still doing fixer, if we have the money. But it is really unfair that we are unable to get someplace late at night without spending gobs of money. And I do mean even just to the emergency room. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Real quick, let's start from the back to the front. So one of the challenges, if you will, because I'm an advocate of keeping the Metro Access area as wide as possible and keeping our hours as long throughout the day as possible, which means we're not always totally tied to the fixed route service, which is one reason the fares don't always match up. But I digress. I don't want to get on that and get somebody upset. But the point is, if we didn't keep the service area as wide as possible, as I like to point out, thousands of people in Prince George's County alone would have already been cut off the service. But what does that mean to, though, in another aspect? And this is where planning comes in. I know that there are probably some trips late at night where a person is generally using fixed route service, happens to have a disability, but is traveling late at night or very, very early in the morning before the fixed route is operating, where they're now booking Metro Access trips because the service area is that wide and our service hours are that broad. So in a case like yourself, if you're facing that dilemma, if you know ahead of time, not the day of, if you know ahead of time and you are a Metro Access customer, sure, you could book a trip. So that then goes to the next question. The people in the Silver Line Phase 2, or quite frankly, anywhere in the service area. The key to being able to first get a abilities ride trip is you have to book a Metro Access trip. So if you're trying to take a trip that is outside of the Metro Access service area or outside of the service hours for a particular part of the service area, then that trip could not be placed on Abilities Ride because it first has to be a Metro Access trip that gets moved, not just a trip. So then that goes to your second point about, I think your first and your second point about the original Abilities Ride, which very much looked like Transport DC, $5. You call the same day and you can get picked up and dropped off and then you pay a little more based on how far you travel. That is gone, and that is gone for now. Will it ever come back? It could, depends on how efficient we can be and things that work in that direction. I would say the training, because you asked about training, I need you to understand that today there were like 120 trips of Virginia residents on Abilities Ride today, and almost every weekday since we've kind of reopened the economy and reopened the region, there have been more than 100 trips a day to Virginia. And then on the weekends, they're usually about 30 to 40 trips on Abilities Ride. So I think customers are learning it. I don't know if there's going to be a special training for Virginia residents, because Virginia residents have been a part of it from the very beginning. And thousands of those.
That's not true.
It is true. No, well, they've been a part of it since the.
If they went over to Maryland.
No. Let me clarify. They were a part of it since we began this program.
We do need to do some public comments and take attendance.
I got you. So let me just clarify for Doris. They've been part of it since November of 2019, pre-pandemic, when we began the free ride part of this program. So I would say, please go to the website, the WMATA.com website. The easiest way to get to the page, there's a magnifying glass in the top right corner of the page. Click on that. That's the search command. Type in Abilities Ride, and please read the description of the program.
All right. Thank you. Anu, I need you. Is there any public comments from anyone? And I need you to take the minutes.
We're still trying to get Vanessa Cole, and I see Mr. Torres has one other comment. But can we go to Vanessa Cole's first, since she hasn't spoken? Okay, we still can't get her off of mute.
All right, so Anu?
Can you unmute her, Anu, please?
Actually, she would have to do it herself. I cannot.
Well, she has to do it herself. Okay, so right, Ansel Torres has a question.
Mr. Blake.
Right. Okay. Mr. Blake, she needs to take attendance here. So we need Anu to do that.
Chair Simon Ford, how would you like me to proceed? Would you like me to take the attendance at this point?
Take the attendance at this point. We'll get back if we have time. And also, if there's any public comments out there, because I don't want to.
No public comments that I received through emails or phone calls.
I have public comment to make.
Okay. Yes, he has a comment. So can I just say that okay, hold on one second. Mr. Chairman, if you will, and you don't have to do it this way, but given that Zoom identifies the individual by name who are online, can Anu just take the attendance by viewing the people who are here by name, and while she's doing that, allow public comment to continue.
Go ahead.
Just for the record, Chair Samerford and Mr. Blake, purpose of me taking the roll call verbally was to have it on the record for the audio. However,
I stand corrected.
Due to lack of time, I will go ahead and take attendance through the video of the meeting today.
Okay. But I want y'all to see, just like I tell y'all, I don't control procurement. You see, I obviously don't control this either. So.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Torres. Mr. Torres, go ahead.
Okay, so is this question to Mr. Blake or is this public comment? What is this?
Public comment.
Okay. All right. So regarding this new invention of the Abilities Ride, I would like to say that this is a great innovation. This is along the lines of exactly where I think paratransit should be going. And I applaud it. It's better than anything that New York City has. I know there are some people who would want to hear that. and it also now makes me feel like a federal employee. Who get free trips. It's about time we get some of that largesse. They should not be getting that all to themselves. But the question I have regarding Abilities Ride, I am a big supporter, endorse it wholeheartedly, but I have concerns about the representation of Abilities Ride in the budget. I asked you in an email before about why is it that Abilities Ride does not have a line item, and you said it's there, but it isn't there. I looked. Maybe my jaws was not reading it correctly for me, and so I stand corrected. And the reason why it needs to be there is because we want to see the millions upon millions of dollars that are going to be saved by having abilities ride, because I know it's in the millions, because I know that using the quote unquote safety net bus or van service is costing at least $90 a trip. If I have to go five blocks from here and I have to take that van, that's a $90 trip. If I use Uber, I don't know if WMATAs get any discounts from Uber because of the amount of rides that they're providing, but regular Uber will cost me $8 to $10. So that is a substantial, you multiply that over thousands of trips, and that's millions of dollars. Just the savings from that alone, just the savings from that alone, and that's only, let's say it's only a 10% or 20% of the population of disabled people who use Metro Access do that. You would be able to save so much money that the fare that we pay could easily be paid off. Also, I was looking at the budget, and there was a 10%, a $16 million increase for the contractors that WMATA uses to provide us with transportation. How on earth can we have these contractors getting paid a 10% increase, $16 million, and we in the disabled community, where our contribution is somewhere around $4 million, well, last year, and maybe $8 million in the year before. Basically, you take half of that, and you have the money to pay to provide every disabled person that use paratransit a free ride. So the money is there.
Okay, so
if we simply use more, this, we will be able to pay it off, and it will be very sustainable. Thank you.
In the interest of time, in case there's a feedback, so let me just explain the whole concept of a safety net. And see, and this is where I would say, nobody's a lobbyist. I think I've been a pretty good lobbyist on behalf of people with disabilities, I believe, because of the way we're trying to approach your independence and your abilities, not your disabilities. Don't allow yourselves to be caught up in a price per trip comparison. Paratransit is never going to, and I had to have this conversation with my colleagues before I got to WMATA, and I'm having the conversation, and I think my colleagues have now respected my position enough that they accept it and understand where we're going with this. You'll never compare paratransit trip calls to an Uber or a taxi, because it'll never be the same cost, because I'm not paying the contractors to just deliver a trip. We're paying the contractors to make sure they have enough drivers and enough employees who can maintain the vehicles, do all the administrative work and everything else required to make sure that van is there just in case you need it. That's a safety net. We're not worrying about the per trip cost. What I'm worrying about is bringing overall costs down, yes, but I'm bringing overall costs down by decentralizing and giving you the freedom to go out and use these other services that your abilities allow you to do. But comparing paratransit, if you want me to bring the paratransit cost down, I could cut this to the bone and we can be just as cheap as paratransit, as Uber or cabs. But your experience as a disability community who needs paratransit for at least some of their trips would be god awful. I think we used that term earlier in the meeting. So please, let's not get caught up in a per trip cost comparison. We're not paying people to be there on a per trip basis. We're paying them to be that safety net, like Social Security, to be there whether you need a trip or not. And that cost does play into effect. So I just want, and again, when you're looking at the summarized budget in those budget books and spreadsheets and PowerPoints, yeah, you're not seeing every single line item. I don't think you'll see my salary, for example, in there. But I'm telling you, yes, Mr. Torres, as I wrote to you in the email to the board and everybody else, this year, our board of directors, along with our colleagues in budget and finance, wonderfully gave us a budget that included, if we needed them, 25,000 abilities ride trips per month for a total of $7.6 million. It's in the budget, Mr. Torres. And I credit the board of directors and I credit my colleagues for allowing this new line item to be included in our budget. And it will be included in our budget next year as well.
Mr. Blake, if it is that you're paying them to be there all the time, they're clearly not working out for me. I can tell you that because many times they're not there when they're supposed to be.
But you know, we're working on.
We got 5 minutes left. We need to do one more thing. So we need to do as approval of the minutes from July. I get the motion for that.
Yes. Second. But I don't want our contractors, especially service delivery in the OCC, and thank you heard what the gentleman just said. Where our goal is to make sure the on-time performance of Metro Access along with the safety is as high as possible. So I don't take your comment lightly, but I do appreciate the humor in it, but I don't take it lightly. And that is our goal, to make sure they are in fact there, because that's what we're paying them for.
Okay, so let's do approval of July minutes. Can I get a motion to approve? Any changes? Do I hear anybody?
I approve. This is Thomas.
Okay. All those in favor of the... Any second?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye for the July minutes.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, motion carries to approve the July minutes. With the agenda for this month, I'm sure you had a vote for it. We're voting on it with all the wonderful changes. Can someone put the motion to approve this month's agenda with the amendments to it?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries to approve the minute the agenda of this meeting with whatever changes that we had to make. Last piece is I want to bring up the, remember we got that 10-minute waiting time beforehand that we would give for the vehicle for those who volunteered, Mr. Blake. I know this is the last thing, but something to put on the next month's agenda, whether or not we're going to keep that because people will be giving mixed reviews on it.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to actually allow but I want to really hear from you as the main person who's been giving us feedback. But we're also going to try to hear from other customers and really follow their lead. I'll be honest with you, based on your feedback and actually from a couple of others, and Ms. Williams Hall heard me in a meeting the other day, I'm prepared to pull the plug on this. But if you and others in the disability community believe that we should continue to try to fix this seemingly, all right, I won't make no other comments about it. If you believe that there's an effort worthwhile, we're willing to keep this going. But I'll be honest, I'm at the point where I'm ready to say, hey, we tried and we can come back in a year or two when some other things may take place and we'll maybe revisit this effort. He's talking about the 10-minute advance notice. It's just hasn't worked out the way I was sold on it as being.
And we can discuss that at the next meeting because we're at the end. I just wanted to begin to put those plus out there. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
Chair Samaford, before you make the motion to adjourn, I just want to say for the record that we have not been able to cover the customer service and the awards today. Would you like to combine the awards and customer service report from today onto October's agenda?
Yes, we will do that for October's agenda.
Okay, thank you. And thank I would you. Like to also state that anyone who has not had the chance to state their comments again, please do feel free to email those to me and we will share them with the respective individuals so that you can get responses to your comments and questions.
For you, a quick question. There was a fire on the roof of the new headquarters this week.
Oh my God.
Has that set back renovations in time we can never see each other in person again?
We can get
At the moment, we were told that it should not impact our moving into that building. But so we're still on pace for late January, early February. But that date is still very tentative.
Thank you, Mr. Lincoln. Is that a T-boned Metro Access vehicle next to you in the parking lot, or is that?
Yeah, that's the old Camry.
All right, so let's make a motion to adjourn. It's about six. All those in favor of adjournment, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. It's been a very productive meeting, and have a good week. We will meet again on first Monday of October.
And remember, there are board meetings this Thursday if anybody is bored.